Hey, everybody. Really fun show this morning. We go deep into gaming in the NFT space and what should be put on the blockchain versus not. It's not a technical conversation. It's a theoretical conversation, and it's definitely juicy. We have some gaming experts on stage, but they keep it high level. And we just kind of talk about all of the probable use cases of NFTs in the future. We also get a monster, hilarious Discord recap from Mr. Long, a valued member of our community. And the show is sponsored by Internet Game. It's kind of like Squid Game. It's kind of like Coachella on the blockchain. It's a really fun experience, and everyone's really excited about it. We give away 3 NFTs to audience members during the show. It's an absolute jam of a show. It's a great Tuesday show. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll catch you next time.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, August 23rd, and you are listening to the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., where we talk all things NFT, talk about the projects that are hot, we talk about the projects that are not, and we discuss all of the stories and topics that are being discussed in the NFT space. I'm your host, Pio, here with my co-host, Nifty Nick. Signal, the illest newsletter writer in the NFT space. King Kicks, the CEO of Crypto Raiders and the best NFT trader that didn't make money off of Bored Ape Yacht Club. Easy Eats Bodega, the Sultan of Solana, a rising star in the NFT space and about to be all over your feed side. NFT God, the former number one holder of the Nifty Portal NFT, but now just an absolute badass writing one of the biggest newsletters in the NFT space week in and week out. Spencer, you're going to know who he is. I don't have to give any intro. Let's just say he's getting his fund on. Quad, a big fanny pack guy and Moonbird holder. We also have some other speakers that we're going to bring on stage today. And today's show is sponsored by Internet Game. They are a previous sponsor. We have another session with them today to discuss what they have coming out next. You're not going to want to miss this one. It's a really, really, really fun project. Really, really fun Web3 business, right? Forget about NFT project, just Web3 business. So I'm really excited to dive into Internet Game. I'm actually going to rewrite the tweet that's pinned to the top. So don't retweet that one just yet. I'll have a new one pinned in just a second. Had a little technical issue there, but I'm excited to jump in. So we have a lot to talk about today. Again, this show happens Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time each and every week. We have links to all of our content, like our YouTube podcast and other platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, all that stuff is pinned to the top. So we're going to dive right into it. But before I go any further, Nifty Nick, how's it going?
How's it going, Pio?
Oh, it's going well. I mean, you already know. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing all right. My orchid died.
Your what?
To set. My orchid is dead.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. What I will say is that, you know, plants that are not like the kind that you only have to water once every 2 weeks are hard to keep alive.
Well, I tried to keep it going, and so I did an emergency surgery. One of the plants was not doing very well, so I decided to trim the roots or prune them where there were some issues. There were some roots that were having some issues, and I thought, you know what? I'll resolve this. I'll rectify it. I'll give it a new pot. I'll give it new fertilizer. And unfortunately, I added some moss in there as well to maintain that moisture. And still, despite all of my efforts, I left for a few days and came back just dead. Flowers falling off. I don't know. It just. It's a bad sign, man. It's a bad sign.
Oh, get out of here. It's not a bad sign. You're not good at plants. That's the sign.
You just don't recognize the signs from orchids. You, as they say, Marin reads the stars. I read the plants in my apartment. Okay. I'm just saying that's what happened with the orchids. And when one orchid dies, they're like, oh, you just killed an orchid. When two orchids die together, it's a situation. I think one saw the other one dying, and the other orchid was experiencing grief and is now going through a grief death.
When you say like one orchid saw the other one, you just mean like they're in the same pot. So it's all one orchid plant. It's not
No, it's not one plant. No, you would be incorrect. There are two plants in the same pot. So it's not one plant. That's not how that works. They're two individuals that shine as individuals. They okay. also shine together.
I just Google orchids. They're $75. I'll send you a new one, buddy. All right. What color do you want? I got blue, white, and I got lilac on my screen.
Well, all I know is I almost had like one of those plants that's like basically the equivalent of like a cactus die on me because I wasn't paying attention and I was watering it and the water wasn't draining. So you got to have a little bit of a green thumb to keep these things alive. But I was at your house the other day, Nick, and you got like four or five other plants that are looking great.
That's correct. I mean, I didn't say all my plants are dead. That would have been devastating. If all my plants were dead, that would have been more than a sign. That would have just been Nick shouldn't own plants. That would have been the situation there. But no, that's not what was going on.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear it. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, there is a new tweet that's pinned to the top. That is your key to the internet game giveaway. A little technical issue with the last one, but this one is good to go. So if you retweet that tweet that's pinned to the top, it's the one that starts with, we're giving away 3 game token NFTs on our show this morning. If you retweet that and then follow internet game, the correct internet game is in there at this point. And stick around for the end of the show, then you will be entered for a chance to win 1 of 3. So this is a 3-piece today, much better chance of actually winning that giveaway than if it was just one. And if you know anything about internet game, maybe you don't, you're going to find out today. The first season of internet game, which, you know, we talked about long ago, it was that they're actually our first sponsor on this show. So they've been around the block. It was a big hit and they have some updates, some news events, you know, gearing up for season 2 here. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, King Kicks, I'm wondering, do you have any orchids, any exotic plants in your house? I'd be curious if you have a green thumb.
No, I stick in my lane. My wife does some things with plants, but she kills them every year. She just goes and buys new ones every year. yeah, she's just kind of it. She just has accepted that and. It's nice. You just go get a pick out new ones every year. It's the cycle of life, you know. you know, I appreciate a good plant. You know, I can barely find matching socks in the morning. I don't need a plant or an animal to look after.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love how you describe that as the cycle of life, is like a person buys a plant and then lets it die and then buys another one. I don't know if that's exactly what the circle of life is, but yeah, you're right. I learned long ago that you have to get like the plants that don't require any attention. I'm sure Nifty Nick already learned that too, apparently, with the orchids.
Yeah, he needs one of those like bonsai trees that you have to like water once a year. You know what I mean? And you could probably like give it saliva, you know, once a year and it would survive. That's what you need. You don't need.
You stopped dead in your tracks. I was going to let you finish.
You got the point, right?
Yeah, he's done. All right. Well, Signal, live from her European holiday. It's August 23rd, Sig. You know, the end of holiday is fast approaching. How do you feel about, you know, not just being on beaches and by the sea 24/7, you know, starting in a couple of weeks here?
Oh, man, as much as I love holidays, I like fast internet connection more. And that's been the most frustrating part of this holiday, is just that you're not guaranteed that Wi-Fi broadband speed where it's just Twitter doesn't rug you, everything connects quickly, and you're not just sort of stuck there trying to get signal, holding your phone up in the air, praying that the reception gods will give you 3 bars so you can deliver the weather report. So that part of things I definitely won't miss. Onto the plants very quickly. Best plant I have, which requires watering once a week, is the rubber plant, because in feng shui, it brings love, prosperity, fortune, and money. So, Nick, put that in your apartment and your luck's going to change, and you only need to water it once a week. There
Whoa.
You go. Alpha Nick. For you people. Alpha.
Nick, did you hear that? It sounds like you might have had one of those plants during airdrop season. You might want to get another one.
We'll see what happens, okay? Like, let me just mourn my orchids. Like, I don't understand. It's like everyone's just disrespecting the fact that, look, yes, the plants come and go. I get it. I'm gonna survive beyond the situation that I've been experiencing at the moment. But it doesn't mean that we can't pay our respect and acknowledge the plants that have come before us to give us air. Okay.
Jesus. All right. Signal, please take it away.
Out here disrespecting.
Save us. The weather report, please.
The weather report today is dedicated to Nick's orchid. May she rest in peace. Tuesday, the 23rd of August. So overnight volume, folks, that's been sitting at 17 million. We're just ranging around here. There hasn't been much action on the upside or the downside, which is good. We're in this holding pattern, and we continue to see this midweek and throughout August. On to the leaders. There isn't much change here. In fact, prices have held pretty steady overnight. Standout here is Punks and Apes. That floor is getting the floor price difference is getting extremely thin. Is now at 0.5 ETH. So no doubt we'll see Punks flip Apes again. Overnight, Pudgy Penguins is leading the OpenSea ranks. They've had a string of announcements in the last weeks. They've had the toy line, the new advisory board, which features Meta and partnerships for Meta and Nansen. And of course, last night, the rarest Pudgy sold for $630,000 overnight. And the Pudgy floor is edging towards 4 ETH. Onto EZK Meta, that one is facing considerable FUD after taking 1 month to reveal, delaying the reveal, and then the collection was filled with duplicates, not just duplicates, we're looking at twins, triplets, quadruplets. So upon reveal, that floor price tanked 50% and is now at 0.22. Onto Chromie Squiggles, and they are back in the news after Kevin Rose bought a hyper rainbow squiggle for $240,000. If you haven't looked at Rose's vault, he probably has one of the most impressive collections of art NFT out there. He has 23 squiggles, fidenzas, ringers, one of one X copies, autoglyphs, 9 punks, and the list goes on. So interesting that he's choosing to pick up a hyper rainbow squiggle in these markets. And lastly, NFT while Pranksy swept Doodles Genesis, Cyber Brokers, and Aku Dreams overnight. Alpha from the Doodle CEO in their Discord is that the full length album featuring Pharrell is coming out, and that will also have many of the big artists on it. The Genesis boxes will have their first edition wearables, and Space Doodles 2 is in development with world-class partners. The floor on Doodles Genesis boxes is 0.2. Overall, the high end of the market for the past weeks is seeing sales on the art block side, especially around season one collections. And with less noise on the lower end of the market, it's becoming much easier to spot the projects under 1 ETH, the ones which are getting picked up and the ones which have the highest convictions from the whales. So for now, with volume in the mid to high teens, crypto ranging here, we could see some calmer skies over the next 24 hours. So for now, it's back to you folks.
Fantastic weather report as usual, Signal. And just a couple of other updates from the Nifty Daily Digest, which is written by Signal 5 days a week. It is our newsletter. You can sign up at thenifty.com. We touched upon this in yesterday's YouTube video, and Signal mentioned it a little bit there in the weather report. The rarest Pudgy Penguin sold for 400 Ethereum. Or $630,000. The last sale before that was actually for 225 Ethereum, which was 787K at the time of that sale. So there was a loss in dollar terms of 157K, but a gain of over 150 Ethereum. Wild sale there. People are bullish on the Penguins. We talked about them on YouTube yesterday. BenDAO, which we discussed ad nauseum yesterday on the morning show and on the YouTube show, the founder, Coden Coffee, proposed emergency changes to the protocol. If the vote passes, there could be 600 plus liquidation auctions of Bored Ape Yacht Club, Mutant Ape Yacht Club, Clonex, Azuki, and Doodles over the next month. Crypto exchange FTX, hey, we know them. their revenue soared 1,000% in 2021 to a whopping $1.02 billion, making them the industry's third largest crypto exchange, only behind Binance and Coinbase. FTX, shout out to them. They're our title sponsor. Coming up in the world, top three, let's go. And last but not least, MTV introduces the Best Metaverse Performance Award category for the Video Music Awards. This would definitely be relevant if it was 2002. I don't know if it's relevant anymore in 2022, but six Metaverse musical acts are up for nomination, including Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, and the K-pop group BTS.
What?
You well, like that one, Nick?
Pio, I don't know about you, but I'm also really excited to hear the Pharrell album. I actually Googled it. Some of the leading singles on it is number one, Why You Gotta Rug Me Like That, Baby. Number two, When We All Gonna Make It Again. And of course, everyone's got to remember the crowd favorite, Remember When You Swept That Floor. But I think the whole soundtrack probably gonna be great.
Nick, it sounds like you had a – did you have a comment about the MTV VMAs incorporating the metaverse or maybe the Pharrell album having three records that are all focused was this, on
NFT? I'm just wondering if this award is based on, like, people who are singing in Fortnite. Like, is that, like, the idea? I just don't even get what it means.
Like, I think
what does that category even mean?
It means if you're performing in the metaverse, MTV's got their eyes on it and they're going to acknowledge.
So it is metaverse performances. So they're saying like, hey, you performed in Fortnite. What a performance. You didn't even need to show up. You literally just like hit play and then, yeah, and that's it.
Yeah. If you start singing in a Call of Duty lobby before the game, you're eligible for the award.
Okay. But look, at the end of the day, someone's going to perform better than someone else, and whoever performs the best gets the award.
I'd like more information on this because I'm still a little bit confused. But, you know, it is what it is.
I think the music industry people are going to get confused. They're going to have to hit up my guy Spotty Wi-Fi for some consulting because he's an old pro at this point, over a year deep into performing in the metaverse, having all the technological stuff.
Now that's some shit I can get behind. There we go. I think you just invented the name of the next metaverse, and it's just going to be for metal music.
That's what I'm talking about. Reminder, ladies and gentlemen, retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top for a chance to win one of three internet game NFTs that we are giving away later in the show. You're not going to want to miss this one. It's definitely a really fun and engaging NFT. I would call it a project, but really it's just a Web3 business that's not going anywhere. So I'm really excited to discuss Internet Game later in the show. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Internet Game for a chance to win. But diving into the NFT market, you know, I'm seeing Pudgy Penguin still hold the number one spot. We talked about that yesterday on YouTube. We just discussed that big sale. It's good to see an actual quality project, you know, emerge and get some appreciation. I'd love to throw to NFT God, who pays close attention to the NFT space, writes that newsletter that I discussed earlier. So he knows what's going on in the NFT space. You know, NFT God, when you look at where we're at, like what's on your mind right now when it comes to NFTs?
Yeah, I think the thing I'm seeing is all the innovation at the moment is being placed in marketing, which is, I think, the biggest reason we're in this huge bear market is people are spending so much brain power on how to market their projects better, how to get more people in. And while there's been some interesting things like Utes and what Frank's been doing with Utes, which I think is this incredibly unique marketing he's been doing with the Utes list and all that, very little people are putting any innovation at all into the actual projects themselves and the utility. And it's, I think that's a big reason no one's coming in and actually buying these projects. Because my dad's not going to hear about, you know, a trait marketplace for doodles and think, oh, I want to buy a doodle now so I can swap the cartoon hats on my doodle, right? So very little brain power is actually being placed on this innovation. It's all in the marketing. And I think this, the market's just gotten totally tired of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, so there's a couple of things. There's layers of issues as to why the space is not expanding at the same rate that it used to be. And by the way, for everybody that's like, you know, in the audience that's maybe like an NFT purist and thinks that maybe it's not necessary for the space to expand, guess what? It totally is. Either the space expands or it straight up dies. So you want it to expand. And my belief is that without question, it will expand, but it takes, you know, like NFT God is saying, innovation in the projects. It takes better user interface. And I know we talk about that a lot, but it's just true. Like it's just too hard to buy an NFT if you've never done it before right now. And there's so much risk of getting scammed. It's like totally outrageous. So all of those factors come into play. I mean, I know I just mentioned the sponsor, but Internet Game, you guys are going to hear, has some like actual innovation on the NFT front, not like just the marketing front. I do agree that Youths has done, you know, phenomenal marketing. The other thing is that I was talking about someone that comes from the traditional like collectibles industry, the comic book industry over a period of decades last week. And he was saying that there was a period of time where Marvel Comics was going deeper and deeper and deeper into making comic books, storylines, characters that were so esoteric and so, you know, only for the purists, right? Like nobody from outside the Marvel ecosystem was actually going to buy the new comic books that they were putting out. They were basically only putting out comic books for their existing fan base. And you were seeing the numbers just dwindle and they were getting smaller and smaller and smaller. New people weren't buying comic books. The space just wasn't expanding. And he made a direct comparison to where we're at in the NFT space right now. He's just like, I see the exact same thing in the NFT space. He said he sees it when he listens to our show and the stuff that we're discussing, right? Because it's so only for the people that are already in the market. And I would challenge anybody, like, who in your life has come into the NFT space recently that wasn't in before, right? So that's kind of the period that we're at. And the way that Marvel got out of that is they just kind of rebooted. They did like a fresh start and they started telling stories that were more, you know, interesting for a mainstream audience. And that's really what you want to do. And so when I see guys like 6529, you know, Punk 6529 announce that he's going to be doing this course, he's going to be pushing to onboard new people. And when you hear, you know, all sorts of different people in the space, you know, talk about that, like educating people, onboarding new people, that's nothing but a good thing. You definitely want to do that. So we need more of that. Micah G, you have your hand raised. Do you have a thought on this or a thought on something else?
Well, it's kind of off of what NFT God said, which I totally agree with, is that we've just seen so much innovation on the marketing side and not so much on the actual tech side. But that reminded me of, and I'm not involved in this project yet, I just think it's a really interesting avenue for NFTs to be going into. But DraftKings relatively recently came out with a type of game called Rainmaker. And it's essentially fantasy football, but the players are NFTs. And to use them in your team, you have to own the NFT of that player. So I think that's an avenue of like combining gambling with verifiable ownership of like you have to own the player to use them in your roster is something that I'm not sure DraftKings has implemented correctly. But I think that area and the fact that it's not super hard for someone to get into that style of you know, gambling combined with, you know, this is like daily fantasy sports gambling specifically. But that avenue, I think, is a really interesting approach from like a technology or a use case that might actually get legs soon.
1,000,000%. And it's going to take time for them to like absolutely nail it, right? Hopefully they don't make like a big mistake the way the NBA did with Top Shot, where they're like, all right, well, we're going to print more NFTs and make more money, right? And then everything's going to end up going to zero. But that's what people that are outside the NFT space will learn, is that the verifiable ownership, the things that you're talking about, is what it makes things better. It doesn't make it worse, right? So there's a huge market for fantasy football. There's people that have been in leagues. What do you call it? A dynasty league or a legacy league?
Yeah. Would be the exact example, would be a dynasty league, basically.
So there's people, like I have a friend group. I've been out of this league for so long because they take it so damn serious. I've literally been out of the league since I was like 22. But since we were like 22 years old, we're in our early 30s now. They've been in the same league.
And there's other people that are like that. And something like this just makes that incredible and makes it so you could potentially have like a valuable asset coming out of it. Obviously, I don't understand 100% the ins and outs of how they'll execute it. Micah?
Well, just to better paint the picture too, what I imagine is that if you did it correctly, you could have these player NFTs come out when they're in college or when they're, you know, like if you're
like
if
prospects. You're doing it for
golf. So prospects, so that people buy these and it becomes a capital market of how good the player is, right? So you could start this so early on and say, we're printing the NFTs of anyone who makes it into college and they're super cheap. And then you'd have a capital market as the players develop with buying and selling of essentially the athletic.
Mike G, all I got to say is I would have made bank on Joe Burrow, baby. Let's go.
Right. Wouldn't that be such a cool idea though? Like, I was thinking about it with like golf, like you could literally start early on, like the players in the lowest level and then they're super cheap. And then if
get
they become
Cam
the next
Smith 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, like, but the opposite side of it's like getting a Johnny Manziel and aping the hell out of it and watching it go to zero. But
I mean, dude, if you're betting on a midget in pro football, you ain't going to make it easy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Right, Kex. But yes, and you know what you're going to – well, first of all, that's incredibly cool. Second of all, I think that we're going to go in that direction. And then third, you are going to have so many bros that think that they're literally the GM of like a professional team. Like, are you ready for this? Are you ready for a house here? Like, guys already take fantasy sports and following pro sports serious as if it's their job, and they don't make any money off it. Maybe they break even or lose some money gambling on sports, but you are going to get guys that are literally like, so check it out. This is my job, man. I just buy NFTs of young college
players. No joke, Theo. I would be so into this.
I would sell every other NFT to basically play the early markets of players.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a thing. We got a lot of hands raised. Signal, you raise your hand. Go ahead. Then I'll throw to NFT God, and then we'll keep working it around.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, there is a huge amount of innovation happening in this space, and this is one of the fastest growing spaces. So I don't think it's the innovation that's the challenge. I think the innovations is actually on the is on the PFP side. If you look outside of the PFP side, you have ideas like something like Token Proof. It was the idea at the founder Fonz. He talked about it in sort of end of December or January. By March, he had the product. And by June, all the biggest projects were using it at NFT NYC. And it's just accelerating, going faster and faster. I think the challenge that's happening right now is that the stories in the PFP collections need to become more interesting so that more people come into the space. But we are seeing that. If you look at what World of Women is doing, if you look at what 10KTF are doing, if you see what VFriends is doing, they're all doing it. But because we're all looking at this on a day-to-day basis, on an hour-to-hour basis, we kind of go a little bit myopic and we don't sort of look at the bigger picture. But everything we're talking about is happening every single day in the space, but it's happening just sort of more outside of the PFP collections, and the storytelling is happening within the projects I've just said.
I couldn't agree more, Signal. You also have to think about how long it takes for this stuff to develop. Nick, could you give me a quick breaking news? Just a quick one, and then we'll get back to the conversation.
Oh, that's the wrong.
That was applause. I mean, I'll always take applause from you, buddy, but if there's a little breaking news you can hit me with, that'd be perfect.
I got the instructions, okay? I know what's going on. This is breaking news.
Okay. Breaking news. There was just a sale of an X copy piece to a collector named Dreaming of X Copy, go figure, for 500 Ethereum, $806,000. The original sale of the piece from X Copy to the first collector was on March 6th, 2019. So just over 3 years ago, for a whopping $137. So if you think NFTs are dead, Dreaming of X Copy like clearly thinks that they're not and just deployed $800,000 into a single art piece. And it goes to show.
And he doesn't even own it, Pia, CCO.
Yeah, exactly. And so it goes to show that over a 3 year period, a whole lot can change in this space, and that curve is parabolic, right? So we're moving faster. So three years from here is a longer time than 3 years, you know, from 2019, right? So Signal, you raised your hand again. Was there something you wanted to add on this before I throw to, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, there's a rumor going around on the Grails. This is purely a rumor that potentially there could be an X copy in the Grails too. That's what the community is talking about. And I think it was Zeneca, I'm pretty sure, swept tons of Grails. And I think his strategy is going to be just to mint every single one, because if there is a huge artist within Grails,
trying to hit that X copy, right?
Yeah, well, if there is one, or if there's a, or if there's a Dimitri, if there's a Tyler in there, I mean, payday, man. Great strategy if you've got the capital to do something that big.
I wouldn't be surprised with that at all, Signal, because I think some people think that, like, Kevin Rose isn't super connected in this space. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that Moonbird switched to CCO right around when XCopy was talking about it, right around when A16Z was talking about it. Like, they seem very, you know, there's a connected crowd. Dom from Loot and Kevin were talking on Twitter. So I think there's some interesting things going on. I wouldn't be surprised if XCopy's involved. That's a really hot take rumor. And it makes sense why the Grails are sitting at, what, like, 4 ETH still?
Well, they went down. So they minted. They came out around 4 ETH, I think they were. And then they just sort of went down to sort of 3.1, 3.2. And then I'm pretty sure it was Zeneca who came in and swept. And there have been some other sweeps that have come in. But, gotcha. I mean, that is a strategy that I would take if I could. If I had the capital to just buy 16 Grails, that's what I would do.
I was going to ask this. Are there certain ones that are, like, way overpriced, though? Like, people have already made that bet on it being somebody famous? Because you'd recognize an XCopy, right?
No. So the idea is that the artists are trying to hide who they are through their work. So there's some that are very, very obvious. Node actually did a whole episode with PO on this about Grail, so you can watch that. And there's lots of info, but just a quick summary. So some of the artists are really obvious. Like, there's a Grant Yearn, and everybody knows that's him. So the idea is, if you know who the artist is, that's going to have the highest edition, because everybody's going to mint that. But if, say, someone like XCopy is hiding in there and they have completely changed their style, then people will be like, oh, well, that doesn't look interesting. And it could end up having the lowest number of editions, therefore the highest value at the end of this when they do the reveal. So there's some game theory happening here, which is why Grails is so interesting. And I think it's been underpriced given market conditions, because Grails 1 was in the bull, that was very different, but right now it's been underpriced and not much attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great call, Signal. And Zeneca said that he sold his ape coin to do it, so we'll see how that trade ages. I'd imagine it'll age well. That would be my thought. NFT God, you had your hand raised. Was there anything that you wanted to add to the discussion? I see the hand's not raised now, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna just do one final point and last one, but I guess I can kind of touch on what we just said too, which is, I think art is really the only use case that makes sense at the moment for NFTs, especially for the broader audience. I was coming back from a wedding a few weeks ago, and I was talking to a really smart friend of mine who owns a business, and I was trying to tell him why, you know, NFTs are worth and why he should get into it. And every single use case I gave him, whether it was a doodle and switching the traits or whatever it was, he said, why do I need the blockchain to do that? And I really couldn't answer that question for most things other than art. And so I think really at the moment, we need to think about when we come out with innovation or come out with new projects is, why is this necessary on the blockchain? Because I think answering that question is the only way we'll be able to onboard new people at the moment, you know, except for the fact that we need to make it easier to get onboarded.
Well, real quick, and feel free anybody to disagree with me, I feel like I have an answer for them, and that's that it's just better. Because of permanence, because of literally permanence. That's the big thing. The fact that it's an actual permanent entry on the blockchain that anybody can see forever, we don't have that sense of permanence in the same way. It's almost like, I know it doesn't seem like much, and somebody could, like, look, I'm from North Shore, Boston, right? So I'm picturing somebody from, like, Charlestown. If you've ever seen, like, the Ben Affleck movies, like The Town, to see what people are like from where I grew up, I'm picturing, like, some guy wearing a Red Sox cap being like, what do I need that for? You know what I mean? And, like, talking to that guy. The reality is that even though it doesn't seem like it's a lot better, it actually is. It's kind of the same thing as, like, when Bill Gates went on David Letterman in the early 90s and was talking about the internet, and David Letterman was like, what do I need the internet for? And Bill Gates was like, well, you'd be able to potentially listen to a baseball game on the internet. And David Letterman said, have you ever heard of the radio? And the audience clapped, right? But now, 20 years later, we all know that the power of the internet was a lot more than just
just trying to replace the same thing, right? So someone might be saying, like, I don't need the blockchain for this. I can just do it on this centralized platform. Why would I need to incorporate the blockchain? But the reality is you're not thinking 100% of the way through it. And I'm pretty sure now I like Spotify in my phone a lot better than having I would never have a portable radio in the same way.
Are you saying that because people didn't realize there was potential for the internet, there's an equal potential for NFTs, but we just don't get it? I don't have a good explanation for.
Yeah, you're David Letterman in this story, Nick.
No, I'm saying the sense of permanence. Like if I have a fantasy sports athlete that's blockchainified, the process of buying, selling, trading, keeping that asset is much stronger on the blockchain. If you don't believe that, Nick, I'm surprised that you're in the NFT space. Like, what if we were just trading JPEG pictures of Bored Apes on a centralized platform? They weren't blockchainified. You couldn't put them into a cold wallet. You couldn't, put them on display. And I know we're only scratching the surface of that part. I don't know if you misunderstood what I was saying there.
Pio, the issue is I don't think many people are concerned that like DraftKings is going to go out of business tomorrow and they'll lose all their players, right? Like I've been in a fantasy football league for 20 years now on Yahoo Fantasy, and I still got like the same players in the same dynasty league going. And trust me, I'm the biggest NFT believer there is. My name's literally NFT God. The issue is we're not going to be able to onboard new people until the use cases match up with the strength.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think what you're saying more is that the use case is just really flat out on the nose. At the same time, like when you think about it, why wouldn't you want the asset to be on the blockchain and it would go ahead.
Like if you're playing Fortnite, you just don't give a shit. Like the reality is you just don't. Like if I go buy some skin for my game or I'm playing Rocket League and I get a different car, which I did once, I don't care that it's on Ethereum or not. Like legitimately, I do not care. And I think
you're probably not even using the right car, Nick. So maybe you should
pull up it. That's a bigger problem. I'm not a professional at this, but I'm in agreement with NFT God, which is just like as a consumer interacting with these things, which we were saying NFTs are going to disrupt. I don't need this thing in order to do it. The only really clear-cut example, and I'm in agreement again, is art, where you have an entire industry where there's a lack of transparency and there's ambiguity as to like, is this the real thing? Is this not the real thing? And so it solves a number of problems in addition to having this record of provenance where I don't need some historian to go and like figure out what the hell was going on with this painting 100 years ago. Like no one needs to do that because there is a concrete record of that, which is just clear. So I think in the art space, it does solve a very clear problem. I was thinking that when we saw the price of everything and that collector is discussing how he's speculating, he's basically just storing in a spreadsheet. And there's one company today that stores a record of, and I'm blanking on what the name of it is, but I was chatting with an art collector the other day and he was telling me about it, about a company that stores a record of all of the private market transactions of art. But even still, they only have a record of 50% of it or something like that. So it's imperfect. So I think the blockchain does solve a lot of things within the art market, but you're going to be hard pressed to convince someone. And that's the problem. I'm not saying that I don't think NFTs will solve problems. I'm just saying that right now, in many ways, they don't actually solve
No, Nick, you're 100% right, especially with the gaming, because one of the biggest like gaming, like peer-to-peer trading markets of digital assets is in CSGO. You can trade like the skins for your guns, and there's literally skins that are worth like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, right? There's people that made millions trading these, and it wasn't attached to the blockchain, right? And attaching it to the blockchain wouldn't have made it significantly like better or worse. So I do think you and NFT God are spot on that sometimes we try to like force applications for the blockchain. Not everything needs to be on the blockchain.
Same thing for subscriptions too. I mean, if you're on someone's email list and you're paying $9.99 a month and you have been for a year, someone could just say, okay, you get a sweatshirt, send me your address. Like you don't need the blockchain to do that. I mean, the one click sign on is nice. Sorry for the noise. I'm doing some starting with the kids here, the analog way. So maybe the blockchain is good for something. But yeah, I think a lot of times it's a forced use case.
Real quick, I mean, you brought up Fortnite. If you watch the Bored Ape Yacht Club founders interview on the Nelk podcast, when they're asked about, you know, use case for NFTs, they literally immediately bring up Fortnite skins as the like go-to example. Because, okay, it sounds like CSGO has this built-in marketplace. Not every game has that. Maybe you're betting that every game is going to build a built-in marketplace. Kix, does the creator of that game, whoever makes CSGO, do they get a royalty every time those things are traded?
That's a great question. I actually don't think that they get a royalty when it's traded. I may be wrong. People may butch me on this, but yeah, they do make money off of, like, you need to buy keys to like unlock the boxes to get the skins. And so I know that they definitely make money that way, but it is like kind of like a centralized service, meaning that like they can ban accounts, right? So like people that have maybe done sketchy things or maybe not, they've like had their account banned with like, you know, 50,000 CSGO skins on it, and they have like no real recourse, right? So there is an advantage to the blockchain. But I mean, at the same time, OpenSea has like, you know, banned NFTs on it. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so, yeah, like, Ben says Steam does take a fee. So they do have secondary too.
Yeah, they take a royalty. So real quick, though, the bottom line is it is only a matter of time before AAA gaming incorporates blockchain into their games. Whether or not the user realizes it, it'll be on the blockchain. The blockchain.
I totally agree. That's why Flow is so popular with some of these companies, right, PO? Because like they realize the consumers really don't care and they just want the convenience.
Yeah, and maybe it doesn't happen next year. Maybe it doesn't happen in 5 years. But at some point, because the technology is superior and it just makes everything really streamlined and it makes it better for both the user and the creator, it will be fully integrated. So, like, I can't not, you know that. It's just a foregone conclusion. Like, 1,000%, it will be incorporated. I know that there's, like, Web2 gaming maxis that disagree. But the bottom line is, like, there will be blockchain integrated into AAA gaming, whether or not, you know, the user realizes it, and they probably won't realize it. It won't matter. They won't care. Just like when you make a phone call, you don't know like what kind of technology is making the phone call. You just make the call. It's going to happen. So I can't get past that. And as soon as like you realize that, that's when you start to have your gears turn. I know Spencer was looking to get a word in, but Nick, go ahead.
The distinction that you got to draw, though, is the distinction between what the customer wants, the consumer wants, and what's technologically helpful. And even on the technical side, well, building on blockchain is not a faster path to market. It's not a faster path to get development done. It just isn't. It's easier when I own the database than when I have to interact with a system which could be slower. And so it doesn't improve the development experience, and in many cases, it doesn't improve the user experience.
I can't believe you just got through that point, Nick, without using the term product market fit. You deserve some kind of award, because Josh Bobrowski would have fit in product market fit and skeuomorphic in that point.
Okay. But legitimately, those two things, if you can't acknowledge that component of it, then like, then you can't solve the problem, which is saying, well, what problem am I solving? So like, if you're not at that point, rather than just being like, yo, it's inevitable that NFTs are going to consume the world, which they may, there's various areas where I think that there's definitely value for it to be used.
It's blockchain. Blockchain will consume the world and thus NFTs. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I'm not here to just like bash NFTs indefinitely, but sometimes like in order to solve the real problems, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, what the fuck am I doing? Like what value am I really
creating? You're killing orchids. That's what you're doing.
Well, that's what I've been doing. So that this morning involved tears in the mirror, but I'm just saying like legitimately as an industry, you got to end up doing that. And the joke that all like Web2 people love to make, and I hate calling it Web2 people, people who I know from the technology space who are like posting tweets about it. It's like, there was a tweet that went viral the other day that was Web3 founders looking for a problem to solve. And with three people running around after a duck, chasing a duck with their with the blindfolds on. And it's pretty funny because in many ways, it's a good joke, but because it's also like, it's not a problem. Like with some of the things, it's not a problem. With the art side, I just straight up believe that NFTs will disrupt that industry, primarily because like I'm someone who enjoys that aspect of art, and I also see the problems that exist within the art market. We, like NFT God, saying we just got to find some of those other problems that are actually being solved. And in the interim, there will be a collectibles subset of this market. I just don't know, you know, how large that's going to be on a sustainable basis.
Yeah, and just real quick, first of all, that is a good joke because it's true. Somebody like said to me that they had a pet food. They're putting pet food on the blockchain. I was like, what is that? What is pet food being on the blockchain? What does that mean? Like the blockchain is not, I just didn't understand. I was like, what do you mean? And I didn't want to like even listen to the response because it's like, I don't know what that means. And so, yes, that's why that joke has truth. Real quick, I want to throw to Jonah. Jonah came on stage. Real quick, Jonah, I know you are the expert.
The joke, of me doing long research. I'm not going to go long. It's no, yeah. Stale.
You know all your shit.
I prefer you saying that I could give financial advice. At least that one's funny.
Yeah, but I'm complimenting you because you really know your shit, but we can't go like super duper deep on the game.
I'm gonna quick. So blockchain and gaming makes actually perfect sense, but it doesn't matter for the consumer. Like the consumer side is going to be the same, but what you need to understand is that the thing that blockchain does better than anything, and NFTs enable this because NFTs are nothing more than just tracking devices, is open data. Go apply for Riot Games, go apply for Epic, go apply for any of these big games and access their API, because good luck. You're probably not going to have any ability to do so. And that data, which the God metric here is unique active wallets, that data is openly accessible to anyone. It's ethically easy to actually mine it because it's anonymous data. And that purchasing data, as well as user data on the active wallets, creates really efficient marketing campaigns, brand campaigns, game data research. It's a gold mine for information. And the most important part, and I'll sum this up very quickly, is the reason why my only thesis on why Web3 Gaming will work is because of capital efficiency. Funds have LPs that demand updates and data on the things that they're investing in. You can't really do that if you're investing in a game that works with the publisher, because the publisher is going to own most of that data. So all these funds raising billions of dollars to invest in games are going to demand that Web2 qualified publishers at least put their assets on the blockchain, because it offers more information to their LPs and, you know, all these other hedgy boys. And the only other thing, the last 1 minute thing is there's an esports organization that's decentralized that just proved actual use case this week. They won a Web2 esports event that had $1 million prize pool. And it's pretty much completely decentralized. They're called Black Hand, and it had a $1 million prize pool, and it was a Pokemon Unite World Championship. And they won it. They came first place against real teams.
Look at that. Jonah, ladies and gentlemen, coming through and just throwing his weight around. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top. We're giving away 3 NFTs by Internet Game, our first ever sponsor back in the day. And now back for season 2 with some crazy updates that you're going to hear. This is a fun one that plays. This conversation today is so perfect leading into the sponsored spot with Internet Game, because you're going to hear what innovation looks like. Oh man, this is going to be an absolute jam. Retweet that tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Internet Game for a chance to win. This is going to be sick. Spencer's probably bursting at the seams right now to speak. I got to throw to him. He's got a fresh CryptoPunk. He just took the CryptoPunk out of the box. He's running around his house with it like it's Christmas morning. Spencer, what's going on?
Hey, Theo. I not to beat a dead horse here, but I think like one thing that's interesting about, we're talking about CSGO and these other things, I actually think that if they were on the blockchain, it would be better for consumers, because the way that this works a lot of the time is that there's actually third parties where you buy off of the platform the CSGO skin with US dollars, and then those CSGO skin owners have bots that are on platform which then transfer it to you. And that's how a lot of them actually don't pay the fees. Now, because that's how third-party systems interact with ownership, there's a lot of risk. And there's been a number of times when, out of the blue, games like CSGO or Fortnite have banned, sort of changed the rules with which third parties interact. And oftentimes it's trapped a lot of consumers' capital and or sometimes even businesses' capital. It's messed with the ecosystem really substantially. And one thing that I think is really important about Web3 is that you don't have the ability to mess with other people's ownerships of in-game items. And I also think we'll see a lot more interoperability of those items. So another issue is that like if the game sunsets or there's a new version, oftentimes your items don't persist to the newest version or across games. Whereas if you look at like who were the best CSGO and Fortnite skin designers, it's the founders of Artifact, right? Like that's their background. It was they designed CSGO skins. And like their whole shtick about Artifact is that they're building like 3D models that could be interoperable across multiple games. So I think to me, the battle between Web3 and Web2 in a lot of ways, gaming is like the ability for the market and the users to have control over the market, the assets, versus the ability for the game itself to be fully in control.
That's what I'm talking about. Nifty Nick, you got your hand raised. Let us have it.
Everybody's wrong. I was going to say the biggest argument for all this stuff is basically that right now, the corporations that are making these games that have compelled people to play because they're enjoyable, that there's an area of this market which is inefficient and unfair. And essentially what the argument is the player is being exploited, their time is being exploited for the benefit of the corporation, and that the user is not getting to participate in the upside of where they've invested a bunch of time, they've made a bunch of money for the company, and they instead deserve some sort of compensation or something for the time that they've spent. That's literally the foundation of a bad relationship. Like, imagine you go to a restaurant every day and you're eating at the restaurant every day. You're the best customer at that restaurant. And then suddenly one day you turn to the owner and you say, you know what, dude? I now own your business because I've eaten here so many damn times. That food is so damn tasty. No, but this is what we're saying. It's like that food is tasty. That's why you ate there. You didn't eat there because you thought if you kept eating there, eventually one day you would own the business. And so that's like the foundation of a lot of the different things that people are arguing. Now, do I think that there's opportunities in games? Like, let's say Other Deed comes in and they end up building something, and suddenly there's an entire ecosystem of games which support this interoperability. They tried to make that happen before. Google attempted to do this to out-open Facebook, essentially, where they would like say, look, we think that this data, users should make their social data portable across networks. So when I go sign up for TikTok, I can bring my Twitter data with me. When I go sign up for Facebook, I can do the exact same thing. It failed miserably because the incentives were all aligned for the corporation. You have to completely flip things around to enable the incentives to be so heavily skewed towards the end user. But the problem with that is, what's the incentive then for the corporation who's building the stuff? And so that's the thing which I have not fully come to terms with yet personally. And this is just a personal thing where I have not come up with a compelling reason for a company to go invest heavily to skew the favor so heavily for the user rather than focus on building a great game. And that's just something that I really can't wrap my head around, because if you make a shitty restaurant, I'm not eating there. Like, it doesn't matter how compelling you say, if you make me a co-owner in a restaurant, which sucks, I'm going to be like, well, what the hell? The restaurant sucks. So now I got to show up and suddenly make it my job to make that restaurant a better thing when I already have a job. It's just difficult for me to like buy that argument. So that's the thing that I'm not fully sold on. But, you know, power to people innovating in that space, because it's interesting when we all collectively own something, but we just see that model fail over and over and over again because the people building it aren't incentivized heavily enough.
Real quick, Jonah, do you have a response to that?
I completely disagree, but only because I have a totally different thematic than this is for the consumer. The theme is capital efficiency. So most games that are AAA level, it's very expensive to actually make new games. I think people misunderstand how much money it takes to actually make a game. And publishers spend a lot of money on R&D to actually make these games work. When one game actually hits, for these big publishers, it is their first desire to make it a live service because they need to maintain revenues. And the reality is some of the avenues for making money in a live service are going to at some point either be illegal or inefficient to make money on. One of these is microtransactions through like rarity on cards. It's actually, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's illegal in Australia. It's illegal in Belgium. It's being reviewed in the UK, and the US has been looking at reviewing it. But these publishers have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year on lobbyists in order to keep that type of microtransaction and live service actually possible. So having volume on trades is a great way to extend the live service revenue in order to keep sustaining product. The other side is capital efficiency for VCs and for funds. The reality is now we have democratized capital that wants to invest in gaming, but does not have the industry know-how, nor the same means as a publisher who's pretty much dominated this space. And VCs are going to force games that want to raise money into being Web3 compliant in order to get more access to data, because that's how they're going to compete against publishers. And publishers can't invest in every game. So, and I think what people don't realize is being a game developer is really fucking hard, because it's hard to find money, because investing in a game is like investing in a movie. It's a very risky business. And so these are ways to sort of de-risk the investment and sort of have this open access data.
Well, bam. All right, we're going to move on from gaming a little bit. I know we got Kix and Micah with their hands raised. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top, ladies and gentlemen. We're diving into that sponsored spot in about 10 minutes. Follow Internet Game. You'll be entered for a chance to win one of three NFTs that were given away. Kix, you got your hand raised, man. You're the CEO of a crypto gaming organization. What's going on?
What's up, man? Yeah, I know we want to shift gears, talk about some other things going on in NFTs. I do agree with what Nick said. If you do the math, it doesn't make sense to like, if you cut players in more, you take away from the game, and then how do you develop the game? I think there's some answers long-term with that, but it's a really good criticism. But I've been looking at the market, man, and just feeling like, we're seeing some bottoming in some projects and some bounces off of bottoms, and we're seeing some projects move. It's good to see you. I don't get all doom and gloom out there, right? Like, of course, we had the big Pudgies run up. That's huge. Mutants up to 13.7 from 11.9. So I just love seeing that. Doodles floors looking solid. Moonbirds oddities up to 1.62. 10K TF combat crates up to 0.76. So yeah, there just seems to be some good movement and some healthy price action. I think that we had a little bit of doom and gloom because of ETH crashing so quickly down to this like $1,600 range. So you just get like 20% like wiped out on your USD price on NFTs, and people kind of freak out a little bit. That exact same thing happens when we had the big meltdown in May and June. I don't think people remember, but like Moonbirds, like we're at like 15 ETH when ETH was below 1,000. Like Bored Ape Yacht Club was at like 75 ETH, right? When ETH was below 1,000. Like these projects like went through a huge flush already when ETH was like much lower. So yeah, I mean, I'm just seeing some positive signs out there. I think it gets like good if you're active in the NFT space. I think that you still have to be very selective, and you have to bet on mostly on new things. But I think that there's some good things happening out there.
Yeah, there's another indicator that Signal missed. I'm getting some more random messages from people during the show. I got one here from Natalie. She says, hey, with two Ys. She has two followers and posts more thirst traps than Jessica Ratrosky. So this could be a real love connection. But I don't even know how you get through your messages, P.O., because I get so many stupid messages during your show. You must get like 400. But I do have one project that we have to talk about. It's called Runaways of the Neverworld. We have to talk about it because the artist is DL the Architect. It looks really cool. Yeah, he's on for a new project because Crash Test Joyride was such a massive success. He's got to move on to the next big thing. So we have to do it because he's coming from Crash Test. Of course, the Crash Test Discord is like, what the hell? I still haven't even gotten my socks with a stupid Joyrider on them. Because I think he literally kind of individually does them from his house. Although the branding on Crash Test Joyriders, if you go to their Instagram, it's unbelievable. It actually pumped for a minute. I think Pio and I sold most of ours into the pump. Went to 0.19 again. But he has a new project. It's supposedly with some pretty cool Web 2 individuals. It looks really cool. It's, you know, bad timing. It's coming off of another project that, you know, Peele probably says he should invest in, but he's just the artist on this. And the art was pretty cool on Crash Test Joyride. So they got some kind of mysterious drop coming in a day or two. Runaways of the Neverworld. I think I was legally obligated to mention it because it's coming from DL the Architect.
I'm meeting up with him this weekend to swap out the sweatshirt that he gave me for a different one. He's a nice guy, tall guy.
Is that true?
That's true. He lives in Brooklyn. He is an incredibly talented artist. And all, like you said, all the branding on everything is completely insane. The quality of the clothes is insane. Everything's just dope when it's on the art side. Driving secondary buys to an NFT project is really hard. That's what a lot of people learn when they start making NFTs. That's what a lot of talented artists in the space learn, even though their art is literally incredible. Figuring out a way to get your, you know, get attention from the NFT market is not the easiest thing in the world. And I see a lot of quality artists, incredible artists that aren't able to do that. And they see other ones like Justin Aversano and you know, other big names that you can name that are masters of it. Real quick, I got to throw to Mr. So that project is interesting. It's called Runaways of the Netherworld. Is that it? What is it? Runaways NFT at Runaways.
Runaways NFT. If you want to check it out, it's still a closed Discord, so they're doing that whole game. But maybe that's good because they'll keep it community small for a while. But I mean, I would check out if you look at the other people that are involved in the project. It's some pretty cool people. Bad timing, but cool people.
I'll have to check it out. If you got to take a look at these things and look whether the people have backgrounds in Web3, right? Because we've seen a lot of Web2 people come in and they, you know, maybe didn't understand how to drive secondary volume to the project. Real quick, I got to throw to Mr. Long NFT, a former Nifty Portal whale. I don't know if he's still a Nifty Portal whale. And he is a valued member of our Discord, a valued member of our audience. Today, he's going to be the person that recaps what's been going on in the Discord over the past 24 hours. My assumption is that it's going to be done in character. But go ahead, Mr. Long, take it away.
Howdy, Pyle. Thanks for having me back.
Yep. Thanks for coming in character. All right.
The joke I wrote this morning is dependent on you correcting me on the pronunciation of your name. Can you do that, please, Pyle?
My name is not pronounced Pyle. It's pronounced P.O.
Well, tomato, tomato. Let's dive into what I'm calling the Discord Roundup.
Okay. Wow, what a joke. Like, that must have been a ton of effort to figure that one out. Tomato, tomato. I'm dying over here.
That has been
Patrice O'Neill is just banging. He's going to come out of his grave after that joke. You brought him back to life. All right, go ahead.
That has been weeks in the making, so I'm glad y'all appreciate that. Let's start with a couple shout-outs. First of all, Laguna Card is keeping the Discord in line, doing the Lord's work over there. Pop Can is buying portals above the floor. Russ is dropping banging artwork on the daily. Press is the 10KTF king. He might be Wagmeson himself. We don't know. And Gentle Tornado is keeping us hot. I snuck on the shill the portal, P.O. Sack me.
I can't sack you right now, man. Just please keep going. I'm enjoying this.
All right. On to the serious stuff. The big project of yesterday is not one Mr. Long can easily report on. It's big brain stuff. It involves minting and harvesting digital trees. The project is Doomsday Garden, and it involves a lot of math. My wife has a big brain and tried to explain it to me, but I was too drunk to understand, and I'm too hungover now to explain what little I understand. Honestly, just find the post from Hi, I'm Alex in the portal. If you need to know more, he made some graphs and spreadsheets and was on the morning show yesterday. That's your tree guy. Hi, I'm Alex. It's not going to be Uncle Nick, seeing as he can't even keep an orchid alive. The other big project was Izu, which is the sister project of Psychedelics Anonymous. Easy covered it on his show, so I won't spend much time here. But their big news is their mint price of 0.2, and they stated the reason for this high price is that they need cash. Go figure. The Ute list rolls on and keeps tweeting who's been accepted. Notably, Mr. Long has not been accepted. even though I have the dust ready in my wallet.
Notably, everyone on NFT Twitter is talking about that Mr. Long has not been accepted onto the Ute list.
I know. Frank's going to get that message one of these days. I got the dust ready. Like, I need more dust in my life. But I'm brimming with jealousy for the Utes, honestly, and the Node and Uncle Nick date on the mountain that could have definitely used a third wheel. Wrapping up, y'all mentioned the Pudgy Penguin sales, and that floor is hovering around 3.8. Beeple posted some penguin artwork yesterday. So are they a blue chip? I don't know. The D-Gen alert, though, is the Pudgy Pepes. That's the D-Gen play we're looking at in the Discord. It's climbed to 0.03. Old Shamdu on Twitter scooped one up and then said he's selling today, so I'm not sure we're still buying this derivative. But shout out to Pepes for making a comeback. Derivs used to be just apes, and now we got green guys. And I have to say, P.O. might have pioneered this Pepe meta, a real Pepe OG. But that's the roundup, everyone. Trees, Izu, Utes, Pudgy Penguins, and Pudgy Pepes. And don't forget, there's a 10 KTF battle today. If you know, you know. It's an honor to represent the good people of the Portal Discord. Back to y'all.
Well, that was fucking fantastic. You are a funny bastard. Wow. I'm speechless, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top. It's sponsorship time. We're going to be talking to Grish from Internet Game. And we are going to learn about some actual innovation in Web3. If you retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Internet Game, you will be entered for a chance to win one of three NFTs. And when I look at the number of retweets on that, I think your odds are pretty damn good right now. So we're going to dive into that. That was Mr. Long from the Portal Discord doing an epic recap. I'm seeing a standing ovation via GIFs in the Discord right now. People are feeling the Mr. Long recap. I don't know. I think that would be hard to do every day. You're basically writing jokes, but I don't know. We might have our guy. I don't know. We're going to figure it out. Anyway, on to Internet Game. Now we're talking. The first ever sponsor of this show has returned like he never left. What's going on, amigo?
NFT Nick, Signal, NFT Morning Show listeners, it's great to be back. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely, Krish. Pumped to have you, man. I mean, dude, you got a lot to talk about. You and me had our prep call, I guess, last week about this, and I had my mind blown. I'll just have you, dude, take it away, man. What's the story? What's up with Internet Game?
No, for sure. Well, first of all, again, yeah, thank you so much for having me. Again, really, really interesting conversation this morning. And I mean, frankly, so like a lot of the stuff that I think about, that we talk about internally, really resonated with a lot of like NFT gods' thoughts and perspectives, even NFT Nick's analogy about the restaurant. Like these are the things that we think about a lot, because in a lot of ways, when we think about Internet Game, we refer to it as like, again, I would say all the time, even when we first came onto the scene, that, hey, we're not an NFT project, we're a Web3 company. And our Web3 company happens to be about NFTs. But, you know, just to give you guys like a quick primer, for those of you who aren't familiar with Internet Game, my name is Krish. I'm one of the co-founders of Internet Game, based in New York City, longtime technology operator, background in, you know, product management, you know, management consulting, venture capital, and then growth hacking in particular. And, you know, for us, or for myself in particular, been involved in the Web3 space since 2015. And Internet Game, again, is looks and feels very different from a lot of the stuff that you actually see in the space, largely because we came from a very different place, right? So my co-founder Jordan and I really built Internet Game as an expression of this particular thesis that we had: the future of consumer social media itself would be increasingly more incentive-based, it would be interactive, and it would be community-driven. And so for us, we saw this convergence between essentially social media and casual gaming as this kind of macro trend that was occurring. And even when you think about like the metaverse and all of those kind of fun things, like that is really kind of an expression of that particular thesis as well, right? The movement towards this like 3D, more interactive internet. But, you know, for us, what we really wanted to experiment with was, you know, can we make the internet more fun? Was really our major focus here. And so Jordan and I basically started working on Internet Game. For a little bit longer, but like about a year is really kind of where this really kind of came to be, where we were already working on this kind of
whole idea of like live stream and casual gaming elimination style contests. But then something very funny happened, which was there was this tiny little show out of South Korea that came out that all of a sudden became this huge global sensation, right? And no prizes for guessing, right? It was Squid Game. And, you know, obviously this hit the world by storm, but it hit Jordan and I really, really hard. Just because we were already working on something very similar, which was this whole idea of like elimination style contests. And then that's where the kind of the germ of the idea of like, hey, like, wouldn't it be crazy, again, being in the Web3 space, if you could play in a series of mini games and win a Bored Ape, right? And like, that was really just kind of where we started. And so then from there, we decided to really kind of just like lean into this idea. We basically took some of our pre-seed funding, in fact, half of it, and we bought a Bored Ape. We set up our website, we set up our Discord, and this thing just took off. Right. So we basically
Hold on 1 second, Chris. Wait, so you raised money, like you had a seed round, it sounds, or pre-seed, and you took half of the money you raised just to buy a Bored Ape?
Yeah. And that's actually kind of one of my favorite stories, just because, you know, you don't hear too many founders, kind of betting the farm on a Bored Ape. But I mean, we did.
Nick, what do you think of that, man?
I think you shouldn't tell that story in public.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that one.
For us, I think it was one of these things where we wanted to show people that we were serious, right? Like, so many of these projects out there, right? When we talk about NFT 1.0 and all this kind of stuff, like, what are we doing here, right? Like, and I think Nick's thoughts in a lot of ways are very, very sober when you think about the market that we went through over the last year, where you're essentially kickstarting technology companies in exchange for JPEGs. And so for us, it was one of these things where I think that in order to show people that we were serious, we wanted to lean in first. We're like, hey, like, we bought the Bored Ape, right? Like, we are serious about this. We put it into the prize pool. You can see it. We set up our Discord. We doxed ourselves. We built the product in advance, right? So the way that internet game essentially worked was that we basically held our mint in February of 2022. And basically we, you know, did $2.1 million in top line or in mint revenue. But the way that we work is we took 60% of the mint revenue and put it into a prize pool. So we spent basically over $1.1 million on the most hype, most attractive, most sought after NFTs that were actually voted on by our community. And then what we did is we set people through a series of these kind of games, this elimination style contest, a la like kind of Squid Game for NFTs, where basically people had to compete against others for the chance to win these amazing prizes. And, you know, so for us, this was, again, a very, very, very different model. It was so different looking from everything that you're seeing in the NFT space, which was like PFPs with jam-packed utility, you know, so on and so forth. We were something where, like, from the mint to the delivery of the prizes, we did all of that over the course of 1 month, quite literally, right? So we did the mint, we went right into the games, we delivered the prizes. And yes, plenty of people walked away with Bored Apes, with unclaimed ape coin. We gave away doodles and Azukis and, I don't know, Neo Tokyo Citizens, lands, like, you name it, right? 100 plus prizes. And so plenty of people were happy. But the thing that we found was that unanimously, our Discord, people that participate in internet games said, this is the most fun thing I've ever done in Web3. And so for us, what we really say is that, like, our utility is fun. Like, that is what we provide, right? That is the experience that we provide for people in the NFT space.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to really focus on, right? Because that's what people need to understand is there's been other examples in the space, definitely not going to like name names, but there's other examples in the space where people try to do things that are gamified, but the experience wasn't fun enough where people came out on the other end and were satisfied with their purchase, investment, whatever you want to call it, right? But you all got really positive feedback and we're coming in on season two. I'm assuming you're expecting that again. Like, can you talk about the experience of participating in internet game?
Yeah, of course. I mean, so one, like, as the, you know, as one of the people operating the internet game for season one, I can tell you that I, you know, certainly lost years off of my life, right? Like, it actually felt like we were throwing like a party every single day. Like, I'd never seen like such engagement and giddiness and joy. Like, internet game is very different from, again, a lot of the AAA games that Jonah mentioned and like these games that are like, you know, they're going for broke to try and build like the, you know, I don't know, Fortnite in the metaverse or the, you know, the World of Warcraft in Web3. For us, it's one of these things where we just basically wanted to be additive to people's everyday lives, right? So, you know, we all have jobs, we go to work, we go to school, whatever it is that we do. Internet game was this thing where you basically logged in 10, 15 minutes of your time. You know, you do your score, you see what's going on in the Discord, you see that there's a lot of psyops and fun things going on. it's this really engaging kind of like interactive community thing. You're essentially participating in this massive international like interactive game show, but from the comfort of your own home. And you're playing these like Mario Party style games, essentially, right? So these games are highly accessible. They're built for everybody. But at the same time, there's just a ton of fun. So, you know, in season one, we just took people through this entire kind of, again, emotional roller coaster of this experience, right? Where, you know, they're playing against other people, they're scoring, they're, you know, they're hoping that their score is good enough to make it to the next round. They're trying to, you know, they're teaming up with other people to help, you know, help each other so that they can get further along in it, right? It was all these really amazing, interactive, again, community-driven experiences that made internet games so fun. Right, it doesn't need to have all the bells and whistles in the world is kind of what we realized, because as long as the game is exciting, engaging, addicting, fun, etc., and then you have this kind of state component where you're playing for something, it's just this incredibly enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and the people that I talked to after the sponsorship, you know, members of our staff and people that participated the first time really thought it was fun. Easy has his hand raised. Easy, did you participate the first time?
Yeah, I bought 5 tokens for the first game. I loved the game. I thought it was awesome. Like, just the community engagement was really cool. You guys had a game in which it was, like, basically picking one of 3 options, and one would get eliminated, one would get the most points, and one would lose. It just provided a lot of cool, like, game theory to it. I actually opened it up for a Twitter poll, and Twitter, their vote got me eliminated. So that was fun. But the cool part was, like, you had all these different avenues of things and conversations to have. Like, the Discord, they opened it up, and you could choose a role, and it would open up certain channels based on what you pick. So there was, like, all kinds of different moving pieces, but it didn't feel overcomplicated. Like, that was probably the biggest win, was it felt easy enough to understand on a moving scale. And I thought that was really cool. But I guess my question here is, are you bringing back any of the games from Season 1 into Season 2, or will it be completely new games?
It'll be largely new games. We will have the return of Memfuck. But it will not be like you remember. So I think that's also kind of the craziest thing, right? Like, so between season one, season two, what's happened, right? So season one, in a lot of ways, we were this fringe project, right? Like, people would be like, where's the PFP? What do you mean that I need to participate in season? Like, I need to buy another NFT to mint. It was just, again, this entire thing where there was this entire miseducation of the NFT consumer, right? Like, they were like, focused on the art, and when I say the art, I don't mean like how NFT Nick mentions it, but like they're focused on the way the JPEG worked and what the promise was and all this kind of stuff, as opposed to like being like, hey, these guys are actually executing and providing something for us now. And in a lot of ways, like season one, like we said, we you know, used our pre-seed funding for it. In a lot of ways, it was like this multi-million dollar international alpha. It became a lot bigger than we expected it to, but, you know, still manageable in a lot of ways. But since then, you know, we've raised millions of dollars from a lot of the best VCs in the space. We've G-Money as the host for season two, right? And we have the success of season one on our back too. So I you know, the hope and the belief is that, you know, even during this kind of more quiet time, right, we refer to internet game season two as the bear market battle, right? There's significantly less alpha out there. You know, you can basically like look at the 1-2 projects that are willing to launch, right? A lot of these quality projects are straight up sitting on their hands because they don't see the point. Right. And then even somebody that's coming out with a 0.2 ETH mint, people are like, oh, no way. You know what I mean? And or your other option is that you're playing essentially, I don't know, what's it called? Like free mint hot potato. Right. Like, where it's just like, hey, like free mint, like don't get caught with the NFT. And so for us, we wanted to provide this more engaging experience. So, you know, with us now, we're back and we're like, hey, let's do something really awesome for the NFT community during this quiet time. Right. Like, let's build that experience that Easy, you know, participated in. But like, again, it's this tremendously fun thing. But now, again, our levels have like really kind of shifted upwards, right? Like, we have our team, like we're a team of 12 now. Our team is largely game devs and designers. So you're going to experience in season two this like kind of, I mean, like if you played in season one, you're going to be like, holy shit, when you see season two, because it's almost like this like Mario Party like experience where the games are just on another level relative to season one.
No, I did have one question there just to follow up. I mean, I noticed that you had G Money on the team. From like a, I don't know if it's like a speaker for it, but I'm curious what that actually looks like, because I know season one there wasn't as much like visuals, conversation, stuff like that, like a show almost. So I'm curious what that's going to look like. And I promise I have more questions.
So I think in season, that's a great question. So in season one, we had FN Mecca as the host. And by the way, that was actually really interesting, because you guys were talking about like the metaverse concerts. FN Mecca just got signed by Capitol Records to be the first AI rapper, which is pretty wild. But you're right. Like, you know, we had this whole kind of vision of having these like intro cutscenes and all this kind of stuff. But frankly, we just like, we were dying. So like, you know, a lot of the kind of icing and all that kind of stuff, like just went by the wayside, and we just want to focus on delivering a really, really solid product. G-Money is significantly more involved in this. We actually, I was just with him on Friday of last week, where we basically have him in mocap, right? You're going to see G-Money like you've never seen him before. So we have him rigged up in an entire motion capture suit where he's essentially playing the games along with you. He's introducing every single game. But that's just because we're much more well set up for it this time.
Sounds like a jam. I know Easy has been talking about live streaming internet game. So not only will Easy be participating, it sounds like, but he'll actually be using you guys to get YouTube views. So there I don't know how that.
Well, we're trying to, I think more so he wants to facilitate a partnership that enables that to occur more than anything else. So how do we make that happen? But I feel like I saw a photo of G-Money in the studio doing this. So it's like the thought of making it like, I'm blanking on that trivia game from before that HQ. Was like, yeah, HQ. So is it trying to go that sort of path?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot, like HQ is actually a really big inspiration for us, right? G-Money's an investor, right? G-Money came across us in December of 2021 and said, what is this? I've never seen anything like this, invested on the spot. The founder of HQ is also an investor of ours, just because I think for us, it was one of these things where we really love this whole idea of interactive media. I truly believe that interactive media will become the future of entertainment, right? Like right now, Web 2 media is happening to you, right? And in the future, you're going to be a lot more kind of engaged if you want to be. And so, you know, for us, that was something that was a big inspiration for us, where we're almost like a mix between HQ Trivia and Mario Party in a lot of ways. And so the whole idea of kind of like a live game show is something that was really, really interesting to us. But at the same time, the thing that you always kind of need to be aware of, specifically when you have a total addressable market in the NFT space, which is limited to begin with, is that you have people playing from all over the world, right? You have people playing in Europe, in LA, in Hawaii, in New York, in Australia, et cetera. So, you know, the way that we work is that it's this thing where each game, I'm not joking when I say it, requires 10 to 15 minutes of your time. Can you spend more time having fun in the Discord and like, you know, like messing with people? The psyops in the game is like, is on another level. I could tell you guys some ridiculous stories, but at the same time, it's this thing where I don't care how busy you are or how free you are. You know, you have basically X amount of tries. You're limited to how much you can spend on playing internet game. And regardless if you do it in the morning, the middle of the day, at night, you do it during your lunch break, you do it after work, you do it after your kids go to sleep, like everyone has time for it. And so that's really important for us. So rather than have this kind of live game show component to it, what we do is we just kind of have these 24-hour windows where you can come in and you can play the game.
I mean, it sounds epic. I guess, you know, if people want to participate, they buy the tokens, and then what does it look like from there? Do they benefit from buying 5 tokens as opposed to 1? Like, what are kind of the mechanics?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically, the way that, again, like I mentioned, the way that internet game works, right, and the way that we're different, right, is like you're not kickstarting us as a technology company. You're actually participating in experience. Like I like to refer to us as the Coachella of the internet. Like you will have such a great time playing an internet game just because it's this thing that you can do with your friends, right? Like I heard stories of coworkers playing together, households playing together, kids and or friends, you know, getting together at someone's house to work through it. Entire Discords were like, you know, had an entire channel dedicated to internet game where people who were participating could do this, like, you know, could help each other, right? So it's this like really, really fun experience. And so for us, the way that it works, or the way that you can participate in internet game, there's essentially, I guess, three ways. One is that you can basically participate on our public sale, which is on August 30th. And you can mint as many season 2 tickets as you want, right? So again, you know, Pio, you talk about kind of innovation or the way that we kind of break the rules of the NFT space. You know, for us, we don't have a limited supply, right? Like, I don't really believe in that, right? I don't think, again, like you talk about, you know, onboarding the masses into Web3. If you have a you know, 5,000 supply or 8,000, like you're going to have 5,000 fans. You're going to have 8,000 fans. You can't have more than that. And so for us, it's one of these things where you can participate in the public sale on August 30th. You can get 1 ticket, you can get 3 tickets, you can get 5, you can get 50, you can get as many as you want. And each ticket essentially represents a player in the game. So PO, you can play as ticket number 1, and then you can switch to ticket number 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is. If you want to participate in internet game longer term, if you really kind of see like, okay, these guys are a team that's actually doing something. They have a business model. They are, you know, here for years to come. Right, you don't have to worry about that because we have the runway for it. Regardless, you can essentially buy a game token, which is one of the things that we're giving away. What it does is our utility for it is that it provides you with essentially heavily discounted access to every single season. And you know, here's some alpha for you guys. Like we're doing we'll have done 4 seasons in 2022 alone.
Oh, right? Damn.
This is just the second one of it.
So August 30th, second season, two more seasons by the end of the year?
That is correct.
Okay. Kix, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. First of all, I think what you guys are doing is really, really cool. And I love how you're approaching, building this and looking at, catering towards the existing NFT and Web3 ecosystem instead of trying to get normies, for lack of a better word. I really think more projects need to focus on just catering to the audience that is here and understands the technology. But just wanted to shout out and say I really love what you said about people are all around the world, and so you can't have these live PvP games in a scalable way. So just letting people be able to play the games if they have 10 or 15 minutes a day and they can do it from anywhere in the world, I think that's really powerful, because let's be honest, most of the people that are bullish about games these days, a lot of us are older people and we don't have time to play video games for 12 hours a day. You know what I mean? So being able to just be I can get into this experience, I can get into this game. My time commitment is only, 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day to do everything I need to do. I think that's a really powerful narrative for your project and just Web3 projects in general, is kind of building products that the market wants, right?
For sure. And I think I really appreciate you saying that. And again, there was a conversation, I think it was between you and Jonah, where you guys were talking about, again, these AAA games. And I think Jonah was saying, it costs a lot of freaking money to build these games. And not only do you have to invest upfront in that, but then on top of that, people need to like it. And then not only do people need to like it, you need to compete for liquidity, which is basically the amount of people that are playing, right? If you play Fortnite, right? You can hit play and within 2 minutes you're in a game, right? But if there's only 50 users or 100 users, it's going to take forever, right? And so I think that for us, we sit on the other side of the spectrum, right? It only takes us 3, 4, 5 days to build out a casual game. And that's by design, right? We actually can move and ship product really, really quickly. So even for us, when, Pio was saying oh, wow, you guys are going to do 4 internet games this year. The reason we can do that is because we can actually spin out games really, really quickly. And then again, like you said, for us, I would say, even as we kind of go through our entire marketing exercise, and I know we talk about the innovation of marketing and all this kind of stuff, but I always say, I don't want to have to educate somebody on what MetaMask is, right? I refer to these as crypto native games. And that's why we have G-Money as the host, and the prize is a Bored Ape, right? But over time, right? And when we raised money, for us, it's about becoming the Coinbase of fun. It's about onboarding the masses into Web3 through a aligning incentive and motivation, and really kind of supporting that onboarding in a way where people don't even have to utilize MetaMask if they don't know what it is or they don't know how to do it. But then simultaneously, it's about giving different types of communities prizes or incentives that they're actually interested in, right? Everyone that's listening right now, the reason that we've come into this space is because of economic incentive, right? We learn about this particular JPEG or a friend who made a bunch of money on a picture of an ape or on a altcoin or whatever it is. And we say, how do we do this? I want to do this. I want to spend my time learning about these types of things, right? But there's plenty of people who just don't care. And so for us, of course, we're doing this bear market battle, G-Money is the host and a Bored Ape as the main prize. But over the course of time, over the course of years, we'll be doing things the Taco Bell X internet game, right? The Taylor Swift X internet game, the New York Knicks X internet game, where all of a sudden it's not really about winning a Bored Ape, but it's about, free soft tacos for life. Oh, and it happens to be an NFT. Or it's you get to meet, your favorite pop star. Oh, and it happens to be an NFT. Or you get to sit courtside at your favorite team's game. But if you don't want to, you could sell it, right? And so these are the types of things that we're doing. So rather than kind of focusing on the education component and all that kind of stuff, I would rather just kind of circumvent that. I want to make the platform super, super simple for people to utilize. And I want to give things to people that they want.
Yeah, you're getting people in our Discord super excited. So ladies and gentlemen, this is your last chance to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Internet Game. I'm drawing winners momentarily, aka literally in 2 seconds. So retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top. I have the software open. I'm about to load the tweet. Easy, you seem ultra excited about this in the Discord, man.
The first one. I can't say it enough. I thought this is when I think of I hate the word utility, but this was something that actually felt by owning a token, you got to play. It was quick. It kept you engaged. There was a whole sub-thread in the Nifty about it. And it was insanely active, like just people talking back and forth. And this is like the perfect time to do it. When the market's quiet, this gets people excited. And it's just like, it's fun. It's not a huge time commitment. I remember the previous mint cost wasn't terribly expensive. And then there was also like crazy trading opportunities. Like I was flipping the tokens that had higher points in the one ETH challenge we had. There was just all kinds of stuff going on with it that I thought was really innovative. And because of that, I'm just like a huge fan. So I'm excited to see what happens with it moving forward.
Yeah, easy. I should have just had you speak instead of me, man. I mean, and again, I know we're almost at time and stuff like that, but I just want to, you know, just again, I just want to point that out, or like, you know, really just kind of discuss that, because again, the thing that we're most interested in, right, is the practical applications of NFT technology, right? Like NFT 1.0, right, is like, again, kickstarting technology companies, all these essentially unintentional rugs, right? People are trying to swing for the fences with, you know, $1 million, $2 million of runway, but it's really fucking hard. Excuse my language. And so the whole idea is that, like, with us, it was this thing where when you mint, you're actually minting for the experience. Like, for us, it's like going to a concert. It's like going to a nice restaurant, right? It's like hanging out with your friends at a, you know, a particular venue at a, whatever it is. Like, you actually get the utility, which is fun. And like Easy said, like, and it's kind of funny because, like, sometimes all these, like, alpha group kind of comments about internet game will get, like, posted to me. And we have these innovations in place where, like Easy was saying, like, you can play an internet game season 2. And let's say after game 3 PO, you find yourself in 10th place. And you're like, holy shit, I'm in 10th place out of, I don't know, you know, thousands of people. Let me see if someone wants to take my place.
That's exactly what I did. I sold my 5th place token after the second game to cover the other ones. So it was, like, amazing. So I was playing for free. And it just made, like, it was just a ton of fun.
Right? And it's this thing where all of a sudden, like, yeah, look, you can go for all the marbles. You can go for the Bored Ape if you really want. But this was this thing where all of a sudden the floor price, the volume, the price action of the NFT was not based off of news or not based off of hype, right? It was based off of meritocracy, right? It wasn't like, oh, I have a one of one from this collection and therefore it's worth something. It was more so because you played well and because, you know, you had a high score, all of a sudden that's what created the value of this particular NFT, which was just, again, it's never been done before. The things that we have to do to even make that happen on OpenSea were honestly incredibly daunting.
I absolutely love that. Like, for basically you can like sell in and out of a spot. It's almost like a relay race. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'm not good at the last leg, you know, but I'm in third place, so I can sell this token for a good amount of money. All I got to say is that Easy and I will be live streaming this with sunglasses on and insane techno music playing.
I love it.
Neither of us will probably be talking much to the audience. We're going to be all in on just throwing W's up.
Yeah, watch out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure that's going to be all over your YouTube feeds. That's going to be going ultra viral. So I've drawn three winners. One of them's already on stage. I like this new system of just sending the request. So we got MetaDentist on stage who just won. But the two other winners that are in the crowd that I've invited are EJH765 and Faye Chow, FayeChou. So I've already requested, just accept the request. Otherwise, I'm going to have to draw more people. Here's your little drum roll. But at the same time, MetaDentist, here you are. You're the first winner. Reminder, EJH765 and Faye Chow. Faye Chow's on stage. We got two winners on stage. Eli, also known as and he's on stage. We got the whole gang. Here we are, winners. How do you feel? The three winners are on stage. You're going to be.
Let's go. Yeah,
I love you. I love you all.
What is MetaDentist? You're still muted. Like, what the hell is going on there? You're preparing to do dental work in the virtual world?
Way to do some dental work. Thank y'all so much. I'm a big time listener and I'm super excited for this awesome new concept and I'll be lurking in the background, but yes, I'm on my way to do some dental work.
Well, here we go, getting those teeth cleaned.
That's what I'm talking about. I just DM'd you, MetaDentist. Eli, I'm DMing you right now. Winner, winner. Respond to the DMs, please, with your Ethereum wallets. And then Faye Chow, clearly your DMs get blown up. So, okay, here we go. There, I got the DM access now. Well, all three of you guys are going to be playing in the internet game. Which one of you is going to win the whole thing and win the marvelous prizes? Who's going to win?
Your boy.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we get those are our winners. Shout out to everybody that was listening. Shout out to our sponsor of today's show, Internet Game, second time sponsoring our show. They were our first ever sponsor. It's going to be an absolute jam. Make sure you follow Internet Game and check out the Mint. It's clearly incredibly fun. I will definitely be playing. It sounds like Kicks and Easy are going to be streaming the game. Krish, any closing thoughts, man? Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah, dude, guys, always great to be here. You guys are so, so awesome. I really, really appreciate the conversation. I really, really appreciate the time to everyone that took some time out of their day to hear about Internet Game. I appreciate you as well. Our mint is August 30th. You can mint as many season 2 tickets as possible. Again, we call it the bear market battle. It is not going to be expensive because we want people to play. We want to provide this really, really fun experience during this quiet time, right? Can I promise that you'll win the Bored Ape? No. Can I promise that this will be the most fun thing that you do in Web3? Yes. Right. So, you know, join our Discord, come ask questions. Our community is super awesome. They love meeting new people. And yeah, I mean, you guys, I'll be back sooner than you guys realize.
That's what I'm talking about. Somebody's going to win that Bored Ape, ladies and gentlemen, and a bunch of other cool stuff. Shout out Internet Game. These are the games we play. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. One more monster shout out for today's sponsor, Internet Game. Check them out. See you tomorrow.
Appreciate it.